Shabbat Shalom. Yes, and that was the awakening. Something that Satan is trying to hijack from the Most High, because those scriptures that we're going to get into today spoke about the awakening. But let's move forward. We're going to get into some heavy exhortation today and a lot of scriptures. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on just the historical content, because I got a lot of scriptures from our manuscript, our Hebrew Sojourn book, that I want to share with you today to be able to stand in this time. And we know the title of this show is One Moment in Time. Will you stand? Let's go before our Abba in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We thank you for the anointing and the power that gives us the ability to do greater things than you said you did on this earth. We just cast out demons, lay hands on the sick that they might recover and stand in the authority of the anointing and deliverance received by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Thank you for having brought us over mountains and valleys, but I want you to touch my brothers and sisters throughout the four corners of the earth to continue to endure and be vigilant and be sober. Thank you for the anointing that will flow today that rest on your words. May we not use our own words, falsely prophesy. Speak back that we hear from you through the Ruach to your people, that their faith might increase. In these times of faithlessness and fear, may the cream of the crop, your remnant, your people arise. Your Sabbath keepers, your law keepers, those that are a part of your kingdom, that are looking for you, awaiting you patiently. In the name of our brother and Messiah, we pray. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
praises to the Most High. That's a beautiful song, too, talking about our Savior, our Messiah, who makes this all possible and paid the ultimate sacrifice. That was Avion Blackman singing this shoe. I play that all the time and never tell you who it is. You can find it on YouTube. Avion Blackman, there are a ton of Yeshua songs. The imposters even talking about Yeshua. Some of them that believe, but you know, we got folks that are grasped in. Welcome back to Blueprint for Life, The Awakening. I am the preacher, and the music that we always start off with and end with is definitely original material that you can download over at YouTube under The, as in Victor, O-R-R-I-E-C-E, under For Reason. You can find that song, which is called The Awakening, and Mount Zion, and Rain on Us, a few other songs. It's just an EP and some other material that you'll find. And we hope that blesses you. Just wanted to give a shout out to that Yeshua song as well. I'm glad that you're alive and well if you're listening to this broadcast and that you're enduring the test of time. And we've got to endure until the end. This is not the time to look back, and that's why the Most High put upon me this title. We're definitely going to get into this exhortation because I'm feeling a need to encourage our people, because there's a lot of people that are focusing on what's happening all around us as it's being revealed and uncovered, Satan's plans. And so they keep reiterating it, and to the point where it kind of perturbed me, because there's some fear-mongering going on with people telling people that the government's going to send the army and a team to your house to force you to be jabbed. And it seems like it's feeding the fear frenzy. Everybody knows what they're going to do and what they're not going to do and what they're not going to stand for. So that's all you have to do, and have faith in Yah that He will protect you. There will be a remnant, as there was in the days of Noah, and with Lot and his family. He's preserving us. This show is brought to you by the Black Cultural Restoration Association, restoring the cultural identity of the original Hebrew man, one asleep mind at a time. Very important nowadays, because we must go beyond the 400 years to find out who we were as a people and the history that's been stolen from us, and the rediscovering of what's been called the Bible, finding out that it's actually there's a bunch of holy scrolls and books that depict the sojourn of a people, which are the original Hebrew people through time, that have been lost but now rediscovered, because now we know how to put line upon line, precept upon precept, and unfold the scriptures. We are awakening. And as I said earlier, Satan is trying to hijack the word awakening. And we're going to read some scriptures later. How many scriptures are in the Bible from 4,000 years ago to 6,000 years ago that talked about an awakening and a time period? So that means that our enemy is trembling and trying to steal what's ours, as, you know, cultural appropriation has been done throughout our span of captivities. So there's the Black Cultural Restoration Association has a page on Facebook, which is akin to He the Preacher's Facebook page. And there's only one particular thing on that page today I want to highlight. Well, shout out to the first young lady, young black Hebrew child to ever win a spelling bee. It's a prophetic event of the arising of our people. Not that we didn't know how to spell. My parents tell me I was spelling words at 3 years old in the backseat of a car. But what happened was they always allowed the Asian Indian to win these contests and put these people out as being smarter than our children. And then we're living in a time where they're trying to dumb down our children in society. But guess who breaks through? A young lady who's already a three-time world record holder in other sports. So she's athletic, something they always allocate to us. and then she shows her prowess with her mind. Don't ever forget about the Hebrew women that worked for Nassau that had mathematical prowess, skills to understand how to create rocket boosters and mathematically and geometrically show how planes, the rockets could go up and then come back down. Those rockets that never penetrate the space atmosphere. Nobody's getting off this planet alive. There's a firmament covering it. And one of the astronauts put the scripture on his tombstone that said, "How glorious is your firmament," because he knows he's never broken through that firmament. But that's another story. You can look that up. What I wanted to bring up is that people think that I'm worshiping Hitler. But no, Hitler was made a point that's very valid as it pertains to our history. He was telling you why the synagogue of Satan, Revelations 2 and 9, Revelations 3 and 9, wake up, people. Open your minds. Be pliable. Definitely in the spirit. The soldier asked Hitler, saying, "These white Jews know that the Negroes are the real children of Israel. And to keep America secret, the Jews are going to blackmail America, and the Jews will extort America with their plan for world domination. Won't work if the Negroes begin to know who they are and were." And that's the awakening, people, that's happening. And the white citizens of America, there won't be no race war. We got intelligent black folks that's not looking to go to war with every other race. That's being stoked and blown upon. We don't react or respond to anything you do. Those of us who are keeping the Most High's commandments, because he gave us promises of protection and a homeland. White citizens of America will be terrified to know that all this time they've been mistreating and discriminating and lynching a bill that's still on the books, the children of Israel. They will fear the Most High will destroy them as he destroyed Egypt. You better believe it, buddy, for doing the same thing. So the elite, that's all those rich people, you know, those tech moguls, the ones that you look up to because they got a bunch of money. They're in the boule. They sold our people out. They all keep this a secret because they are taught this in their satanic awakening as becoming a 33rd degree Freemason to suppress the true children of Israel, the original Hebrews who are in captivity right now. And I tell you people all the time, see, you, when I call scriptures, you think I'm just being the preacher and preaching as you think of in the Christian church, so you dismiss what I say. But when you finally understand that that Bible is a historical document that's very prophetic and everything in it comes to pass, and that it's a weapon, as was stated in that movie, The Book of Eli, this book transforms and changes people, and it documented things, which is why when they destroyed the temples, especially in 70 AD, they would take the scrolls, burn them, and destroy them, so we would have no understanding of our heritage as the only family the Most High, our Creator, has ever known in the earth, the one family that escaped Egypt. They wouldn't let them go. He had to destroy Egypt, and then he gave them citizenship laws, commandments, and statutes to live by, to be separated from the rest of the world, but to teach the world how to live pleasing and according to Yah's laws. He didn't give them to a bunch of different people. They can't preach this or teach this. It wasn't given to them. It's not in their bloodline, their heritage, to sit in that capacity. So those who are the synagogue of Satan that have this money, that's tricked us, that has America paying the false Balfour Treaty State of Israel billions of dollars a year from our money and tricked the Christian church on Sundays to bless them and not curse them when they're supposed to be blessing us, the original Hebrews, and not cursing us. Yeah, that's the lie. That's the trick. That's the deception. That's the original cultural appropriation. Identity theft. Identity theft. And
the scare, the fear that this world has is that they know that the 400 years has passed, and there's something that they've tried to stop that they can't stop, and it is the awakening, because there was an internal, intrinsic time clock inside the remnant of Yah's people to come back to his statutes, laws, and commandments. So if my people who were called by my name, we covered that, what our original names were, and we may get back, we're going to get into some of Isaiah 44 too, about us changing our names back to Yesharan, Yasharala, Israel, because we no longer want to wear the name of our captors, our conspirators, our colonizers, those that try and want to seek our demise. And I have to tell you, people, some of those in America know, but the majority of them don't know who we are as a people. And believe it or not, a lot of other countries outside of America do know who we are as a people. But there's so much trouble in the world right now. Not a lot of people want to focus on this conversation. And eventually it will come into fruition to the forefront, because our God, Hayah, the Most High Yah, is coming back for his family and his people. And we're going to get into that a little bit later today. Enjoy the Black Cultural Restoration Association page. Stay on the lookout for an app that's coming out. It's just to inform you, open the door for discussion, open your eyes, and give you some guidance along this path of your awakening so you can see and connect the dots. Because at the end of the day, all one can do, all of us who try to inform you, teach, preach, is plant and water. But only the Most High can give the increase and bring you into the understanding of who you are and allow you to see and know what you must do in this life to come. And we're going to cover some of it today, because I am not going to try and talk about all this. I'm going to do my best to not talk about all these jabs and what these people are doing, because I know a lot, but I realize it can weigh heavy on your spirit and you'll start to lose hope, because we're surrounded by fear. And the reason we're surrounded by fear is because there are extra demons here in this atmosphere that are busy at work to try and destroy us as a people, destroy faith, belief in Yah. And we're going to talk about that. We're getting ready to get into it. So without further ado, right after this song break, we're going to go ahead and get into these holy scriptures in a prophetic manner. Mount Zion, we can't wait till we get there. Jerusalem, the mother of us all. Hallelujah. All praises to the Most High. Let's get it without further ado, because I just want to get into these scripts today. And the reason, like I said, I want to exhort you, which is encourage you, inspire you, and help to increase your faith and come at you in a spiritual manner. We got artificial intelligence that's stoking the flames and trolling all of our websites, and the algorithms are looking for keywords and certain words to see who they're going to block, what numbers are going to be heard. I don't even look at the numbers anymore because it's all a lie. There's a thing called shadow banning. All this stuff is happening. But you know what? If Yah be for you, who can be against you? And we find that in Romans, the 8th chapter, and it's time for us to start standing on these scriptures and the word and believe in it, because we're going to need divine protection moving forward. And I know he watches over his word to perform it. I don't care if this lesson ends up on a radio station in Fiji and a bunch of villagers of only 30 people here. That's who was meant to hear it. That's where we're going to have to be moving forward with our faith, because we're voices in the wilderness. And we have to cry out loud and spare not. And when we continue to do that, he will make sure that he watches over his word to perform it, because his power and his word, it will do that it was sent to do and meant to accomplish. Because he said, if we stop, the rocks are going to cry out. It can't ever come to a stop. And scientifically, when you deal with the brain and spiritual frequencies, when you speak something into the atmosphere, you best know that it resonates in that atmosphere. And I don't think we understand how powerful we are as children of Yah, especially when you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. There's places you go where you're lighting up in the midst of darkness and you're bringing salt to the earth. So stop being intimidated. And the reason you feel so much fear and you're vacillating about what to do with your medical history and your physicality and your body is because you're not ingesting enough of this spiritual prism called the word of Yah. And then when people try and separate you from Yah by telling you you don't have to keep the commandments, you can eat whatever you want, bad foods with bad frequencies that will kill you and cause you to be in sin because they're unclean. When people tell you that the Sabbath, try to confuse you on which day is the Sabbath, it's the seventh day. When you overthink a process, study long, study wrong, that's Satan, because he's the author of confusion. And anytime you start vacillating on something that's as simple as the nose on your face, you know there's a problem, because he said, I make my words so plain that even a child can understand it. So when you start getting around people that want to have debates, which Timothy speaks against and Titus speaks against, that we're not supposed to be debating the word and all that, you keep it simple, stupid. Remember that, K-I-S-S? Keep it simple, because when you start getting into complexities, you know it's Satan trying to throw a monkey wrench into the work and the gears that are flowing. We must come back to the law, statutes, and commandments. And I posted something on Facebook that you need to understand. He that turneth his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer will be an abomination to Yah. That means that if you turn away from hearing what I'm saying about coming back to the law and breaking the curses, he's not even trying to hear your prayer. Your prayer is an abomination to him. Who wants their prayers, especially in the midst of crisis, to be an abomination to Yah? Who wants that to transpire? It should be no one. You can find that in Proverbs 28 and 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination, a scripture you probably never heard in your Sunday church, that without the law, there is no blessings of prayer. You read Isaiah, the 58th chapter, it tells you about keeping the Sabbath, keeping the law, and returning unto him. He says, thy health will spring forth, and you could call on me, and I will answer you. You don't believe me? Okay, let me read it to you real quick, and then we're going to get into these scriptures. I told you, I'm encouraging you today. I need to talk to your spirit man, because I know even where I stand in the midst of what we're going through and headed for Jacob's trouble. There is a lot of pressure that's on us that can spike our blood pressure and cause us to stress out, because we're dealing with folks that are being tested by demons to test you, even those closest to you, your own family members, your own children, maybe even your own parents. So much societal pressure to do things, to lose your faith, to lose your focus, and to just give up and throw in the towel. And believe it or not, you don't have that luxury anymore, which is why I'm going to tell you, you must be consistent. One moment in time, can you stand? Will you stand? The scripture in Isaiah 58, there's a number of them. It starts off with cry out loud and spare not. And then he goes into verse 5, you're doing all this fasting to try and get close to me, but he said, is not this the fast that I've called for, that I've chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush? Then he skips it. Verse 6, skip down with me. Is not this the fast that I've chosen? Check out the fast, that this is what Yah wants. Loose the bands of the wickedness. That means go set people free with preaching, teaching, and laying on of hands. Undo their heavy burdens. Help your fellow man. Let the oppressed go free. That would be our people who are constantly being oppressed. And then break the yoke. What does the scripture say about the yoke? The anointing destroys the yoke. 7, is it not to give your bread, your own food to the hungry? We're supposed to be feeding the poor. This is the fast he wants. To help those that are desolate, that are naked, to put clothes on them. This is what separates the wheat from the tare, the goat from the sheep. But check this out. He said, after you've done these things, verse 8, he said, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of Yah shall be behind you. Righteousness will go before you, moving stuff out the way, and then people look at you like you're crazy. It's because standing behind you is what? The Most High shall be thy rear ward, standing behind you like an angel with a sword, daring anybody to touch you. What you scared of some unseen, not proven, not isolated virus for? Or the people around you that you think are going to do you hurt, like military, police, forces, armies? Do you see this? And then go to verse 9. If you take care of the people and do what you're supposed to do, this type of fast of blessing people, you shall call on me and I will answer. Thou shalt cry and I will say, here I am. As soon as you cry out to Yah, he'll be like, yes, my child, because you're walking upright in righteousness, helping the desolate, the weak, the poor. You're not just fasting, but you're doing the work. 11, I love too, and the Most High shall guide thee continually, satisfy thy soul in drought, so the food shortage that's coming, the water shortage that's coming, is this not a promise right here? He'll make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden. Skip further, go to verse 13. And then he said, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Most High, honorable, and shall honor him. You're honoring him today by keeping the Sabbath and not doing your own ways or finding your own pleasures nor speaking your own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in Yah, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob. You will let it be known that you are Israel, and you will walk in the blessings coming up out of the curses of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. Powerful, powerful, powerful. So anyone that's telling you then not keep the laws, and you think he's hearing your prayer, this is why he's not hearing your prayers. And when you start doing 58, your prayers began to be heard. So within this awakening that's being stolen by Satan in the dawning of the age of Aquarius, and people talking about people awakened to culture, and they're twisting it and turning it because that's what Satan does. And let me prove it to you. Let me give you a few scriptures from our Most High over 4,000, 6,000 years ago on awakening. Romans 13. Do this, knowing the time that is already the hour for you to awaken from your sleep. Prophecy that we would just begin to awake from our slumber and our stupor. Ephesians 5 and 14. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead. Prophesy. These were the disciples prophesying that Israel would just suddenly bethink themselves and come back to themselves, because it's been over 400 years, people. Proverbs 6 and 22. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. He's speaking to us. Isaiah 52 and 1. Awake, awake. Clothe yourself in strength, Zion. Hallelujah. Psalm 17 and 15. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. I will be satisfied with your likeness when I awake. Do I need to go on? This Song of Solomon, prophecy. There's Isaiah 51 and 9. Awake, awake, put on strength. So what I'm trying to get you to see, Satan knows these scriptures and that it is a prophesied word for the final era of this remote generation that's awakening. So why not hijack it? He did the same thing with this insurrection, everything he does. Because we're in a battle of good against evil. And you hear about an insurrection on the 6th. But what they did was Satan actually, in order to stop an insurrection act from being signed, he stole the insurrection and created one so that the insurrection act that would protect those who were trying to live righteous could not be established. But that's all I'm going to do, to go into that. So everything that's being said that will come against people who are of a tyrannical system, love human trafficking, drug smuggling, and destroying integrity, and those that want to live right. Yeah, everything that wants to do this, like live any kind of way, promoting all sexualities and lifestyles and getting high and everything. Yeah, they think they're winning, and what they're trying to win with is by stealing what's ours and repackaging it, trying to reconvenience it for society, which is why our children, I pray for them, they're so dumbed down with forces that they don't even have the ability to fight against, because it's a spiritual plane and a frequency unbeknownst to them through their medicating themselves, their hypersexuality, over-sexualized, and their lust for pleasure and money, and no understanding of who they are as a person, a spirit, a soul, and a body, and their mortality, and that the immortality is, it can be real. And that's what Satan is even trying to do. He said, we're going to go into it, he wants to promise immortal life to his people that worship him through artificial intelligence and creating transhumanism, cyborgs, capturing your conscience, and killing off the God gene that's inside your body. And trust me, all that's inside this jab. Let's talk about Satan for a minute. Keep it real before we begin to encourage you. Look at Revelations 12 and 12. Expose your butt today, because you are trying to destroy the faith and patience of the people, because they're losing sight, because they can't get a word, a real word. Revelations 12 and 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down, having great wrath, because he know that he hath but a little time. So he's trying to expedite his plan, which is why Yah said, if I don't shorten the days, nobody's going to survive this and make it. Which is why a week goes by like a day now. You say it's the Shabbat, next thing you know, you look up, it's Thursday or it's Wednesday, and you're saying it's hump day. That is your heavenly Father trying to shorten the time. And believe it or not, guess what? These people who work for Satan, these demons, are trying to provoke Armageddon, thinking they can manipulate making Yeshua come back by them pushing us into all these things that are prophecies in this book. Because they believe it more than you believe. Now, Satan already, we are warned by Yochanan in Revelations, woe until to everybody who's living on the earth, because Satan is pissed. Why are you comfortable and you think we're living in Disneyland? What, this is a warning. He's mad. He got kicked out of heaven. And this deceiver took a third of the angels with him and deceived them. That's millions, if not billions, of angels. Just a third. Let's look at Joel 9 and 24. I want you to see him. Let's expose him. He's down here with great wrath. So he's saying, whoa, y'all going to be in trouble. Don't be scared, though. We already just read about the promises we have. Bear with me. Job 9 and 24. The next scripture, it says, the earth is given into the hands of the wicked, and he has covered the face of the judges thereof. If not, where and who is he? Guess what? 1 Corinthians 6 lets us know that we're going to judge angels. We're going to judge this world. We're going to judge the fallen angels. We're covered. We're awakening now. Our eyes had been covered, but if you look at 24, it tells you that this whole earth has been given to the hands of the wicked. There's nothing righteous about you choosing to follow the ways of man and his advice, especially as it pertains to medications and medicinals. Don't forget, you're dealing with a deceiver. I'll prove it to you. Go to John 8 and 44. We already got it. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. Satan has come down with great wrath. Then we did Job. That whole earth is given over to the wicked. So this is daytime. This is their season. You want wealth and fame in this world, and you want to be somebody in this world. So you want to party with the wicked like it's 1999. That's why I don't even ask. I won't even go there. John 8 and 44. Why are you being moved and shaken? When you know this, this is Yeshua talking to the disciples, his people, and people that were surrounded by him. He said, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. Let's break that down. These people in this world right now are doing their bidding for Satan, who's the god of this world. We know this according to 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, that tells us whom the gods of this world have blinded the minds of people. Certain people, you can't wake up because they serve Satan and they are of Satan. And look, I can't tell you who is and who ain't, but Cain killed Abel and they were brothers. And they were two different seed and spirits. So you're going to have to get your heart ready for who is of Yah is going to be of Yah, and who's of Satan is going to be of Satan. And the ones who are of Satan, they're following his lust and dictates, and they're listening to him when he's telling them to go do something in order to save their lives. And it's not going to save your life. Only Yah can save your life. Our salvation is in Yeshua, not a daggone injection. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. He didn't want nothing to do with the truth. That's why you're being censored. He don't want to hear it. Block it off, because there is no truth in him. So when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Everything you're hearing now in society on the media is from a liar and the father of lies, because this earth is his and he's wicked. The wicked have control, and woe unto us because they've come down having great wrath. So you're dealing with somebody who's not going to do anything but tell you lies. He will never speak the truth. How dare you listen to these liars of this world that sit in seats of authority and make you think they're the professionals that follow the science or understand the politics and think there's some truth coming out of their mouth, when all your truth and prophecy is right here in this word, but you allocate this word. You look at it from glasses of like, well, let me see who's telling it, who's preaching it. Oh, these preachers is false prophets. They live in high on the hall, got Benzes and women, and they homosexuals, and they messing with little boys. And so I'm just going to cut off everything. So what happens is you will demoralize a person like myself, which would only cut you off from receiving the anointing on my life and what Yah has given me to give to you. Because now you're dismissive through your ignorance of everything that comes out of the mouth of the prophets. And you need to understand that Yah speaks through his prophets. He said, I believe it's in Ezekiel, I do nothing until first I reveal it to my prophets. And Satan tries to copy that rhetoric, because these Masons and these Zionist fake Jews also say you got to give the people warning before you do what you're going to do. So what do? Put it in a movie. You don't even see it. Hidden in plain sight. So back to Yah. He's like, I speak to my prophets at night in dreams. I speak to my prophets and tell them what's getting ready to happen, and then they prophesy. But you can't hear them because I got people in my life that's still tripping on my past from 30 years ago, but then they feel the anointing and, what was that? Wow, that was a good prayer. I felt something. Yeah. The power of the Ruach HaKadosh and the ability to lay hands on you and recover, because I'm walking in his righteousness. And I don't care what anybody says, because I'm not living to please you. I'm living to please Yah. And he's the one I'm going to have to answer to. We're dealing with, let me reiterate, awakening has been hijacked. We're dealing with the father of lies. He's got control right now. So when you was a little kid singing that song, he's got the whole world in his hands. Mm-hmm. Now, Satan can't do a bunch of stuff. But you have to understand the scriptures, that through an act of law, because of what happened with Adam and Eve, he got rulership. It's like a court of law. Well, I don't understand you people talking about I don't have to keep the law no more, but you go to court and have to face law. You don't even know that the biggest trick right now is the laws, and that your birth certificate and your social security number has you on the stock market and gives them ownership of your body. And I hate to go into it today, but pretty soon, if somebody owns a patent on a disease and the antidote for that disease, and you put it inside your body and it changes your DNA, somebody else owns your butt. Guess who it is? Right. Because now you're operating and utilizing a patent that belongs to somebody else that has taken over what you originally were. You've become something else that they've designed for you to become, which sounds a lot to me like the days of Noah. Can you find one in the earth? I might as well say this before I get the other scripture. You've got to know that there is something in your neurons and your brain that gives you a passion and lights up when you pray and seek Yah, that makes you feel good all over. Well, in 2006, Bill Gates went to the Pentagon to discuss, and they put it on the front of Time magazine. The God gene was discovered, and they found a way to attack the God gene and cause that to dissipate, so you lose your passion and zest and energy for life to press toward the mark. Why are we dealing with such a lazy generation? Let me break Satan down some more, because I got so much to share, which is why I got straight to this. Go to Isaiah 14. He's a liar. He's got control of this world. Woe to us, because he's having great wrath. And then let's look at what his five-point plan was when he came down here, when he lied to the angels and the third of the angels and told them to come with him. So he said, since I'm down here, this is what I'm going to do. I'll lay it out for y'all. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? But you're being weakened right now. He's on a path of destruction, and he's telling you lies. I tell you, don't sit up and watch 2 and 3 hours of the news. It's MK Ultra, cognitive dissonance, programming, and frequencies. And you're letting that become your gospel. Don't do it. Let's finish this. Verse 12. Verse 13, for thou hast said in thine heart, this is the five-point plan. He said, I'm going to ascend into heaven. That's all those rockets. You got Amazon doing rockets. You got Tesla doing rockets and Virgin Airlines doing rockets. A race to try to get him back out there because he's sitting inside the seat of their souls. These people have sold their flesh. These people with this money, these Klaus Schwabs, these 1%, they took the bait. What is the bait? After Yeshua, who you call Jesus Christ ignorantly, and it's not his name, not transliteration or translation, after he got off the 40-day fast, knowing he was in this earth that belonged to Satan, he took Yeshua, who was weak, had not eaten anything or drank any water, and took him to a high mountain in the midst of his weakness and said, if you worship me, I'll give you all any one of these kingdoms, all of them. Why do you think that practice has stopped today? These people that you see and you wonder why they have so much power, influence, and money, they took the bait. And they have a flurry, a plethora of demons living inside them. And when you don't see them behind closed doors, they're satisfying those demons through weird pedophilic sex, drugs, chemical high, murder, worship of Satan. You see an image and you think that's what it all is. No, these people do bad things. Blood drinking is real. Bloodletting is real. Sacrificing babies is real. And you want to worship a Beyonce and a Jay-Z, Queen B, Hova, still in the name of the Most High. Trying to, at least. He said, I will ascend. Number one, I exalt my throne above the stars of God. The stars, don't forget, the stars are within the firmament. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, Vatican, Seven Hills, Satan's church. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. These rockets will cover it. And I will be like the Most High. And then I love how Isaiah said, but yet you're going to be brought down to hell and the sides of the pit. So what you're seeing is the five-point plan coming into final fruition, but it ends with 15, where he will be destroyed. So what I'm asking you is, what voice are you following when you realize how much control Satan has right now and that he's all over the place and that he's manipulating science, media, social media, people, relationships, what you thought was sacred. You're saying it was a facade, a lie. Because we're finding out that with this awakening, we got to go back all the way to elementary school and relearn everything we was taught. Because our minds have been shaped into iniquity. And if your mind has been shaped, if everything you were taught was a lie, then you inculcate and you walk with a fashioning of Satan because you're walking in lies and believe the miseducation that was given to you. So when God comes in, he wants to destroy everything that you've been taught and reteach you who you are, what this world is, and what happened. And it's a hard pill to swallow. But the fortunate thing is this, John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Well, who's talking to you? And do you know his voice? Now, let's go back to the beginning of when I first started talking. First of all, it said that if you're not keeping these laws, he ain't hearing you anyway. So his remnant are being pulled into keeping Sabbath, eating right, not taking jabs, and not fearing anything they hear on the news. The preparations we make are the preparations that Joseph made while he was in Egypt in captivity. And the Most High told him, there is a storm coming. There's going to be a shortage of food and supplies. It's going to happen. So I need you to store some grain, because I'm going to bring your family back up here, and they're going to ask for some grain, and I'm going to restore that has been lost. Oh, boy, I pray that the Most High alters your view of this word so you would better understand how real this prophetic book is. My sheep knows my voice. So when you move out of fear based on the lies, he don't even know you. And I told you what the blessed assurance was once before. John 2:3, another one of my favorites, even though the whole book is my favorite. We hereby do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So if you say you love him and you don't keep him, you are a liar. And if you're a liar, we just read in John 8:44, you're a liar. You're the seed of Satan. And you're not doing what Isaiah 58 said do, and don't have a proclivity, this inclined ability to want to do the things 58 talked about, which is taking care of your people and the desolate people and the less fortunate people. You don't have the love of Yah in you. So knowledge of Yah is through keeping his commands. Don't let somebody tell you that the Old Testament is old, when those in the New Testament were reading what they call the Old Testament. See Satan with his foolishness? And that's brought to you by your friendly Nicene Council and the Council of Trent and Marcion and the Catholic Church and religion. Isaiah, the 44th chapter. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, we are the seed of Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, whom I have chosen, prophetic. I chose these people. Thus said the Most High that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun. Jeshurun is another poetic name for Israel, which means upright and upright in mind. Yes, it's actually Yesharon, because we know they changed the Y to J. So it's Yesharon, but it means the same thing. It's just a poetic phrasing of Israel. But did you see verse 2? That is the same thing as Jeremiah 1 and 5, two different prophets. Jeremiah 1 and 5 says, before you were formed in your mother's belly, I knew you, called you, and sanctified you. This is the problem with abortion, people. Verse 2, thus said the Most High, I that made thee and formed thee from the womb. He was the one doing all the forming in there. Abortion, sacrifices to Moloch, gene therapy. What is the other one? Cell. Stem cell technology. You know what that really is? They're taking the DNA and the blood and different chromosomes from aborted fetus cells. And the majority of those are black babies, because we've killed more of our people off through abortion than any other way. I think it's up to 20 million now. Margaret Sanger, you're messing with Yah's holiness from Jeremiah 1 and 5 and Isaiah 44 and 2. He put us in there. He was forming us. And then when we come out the womb, he breathes into us the Ruach HaKodosh. But I also love about verse 2 is he said, fear not. Fear is the tipping point and the factor that's in the earth now. Everybody's moving out of fear. Fear of death. So I'll take something that'll bring death. Fear of moving, fear of guns, fear of violence. This is an evil spirit on the earth that's creating an atmosphere of fear that's going to cause heart attacks and strokes and doubting Yah and disbelief in this world. Without faith, it's impossible to please Yah. Fear is of Satan. Let's read some more in 44, verse 3. For I will pour water upon them that are thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. Pause for a second. Whosoever hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. That's a scripture. And he also said, those that seek me early shall find me. And we also covered last week that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under his shadow. And he inhabits the praises of his people. So I will pour water upon him that's thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. And I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, us, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. This is a promise to our forefathers who sinned and put us into these captivities. And then as Enoch said, we're in a remote generation that's awakening to what we're actually supposed to do. Not playing church, playing with the organ and shouting on Sundays and living in fornication, homosexuality, adultery, and still hitting the clubs and getting toe up high. No, not that. No. Righteousness of the kingdom and sanctifying thyself by separating thyself by keeping the laws. Because of Psalms 19:7, the law of Yah is perfect and it converts the soul of a man. Verse 4 from Isaiah 44. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. And here's what's going to happen to the people that begin to awaken. One will say, I am Yah's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Most High, and surname, that's your second name, himself by the name of Israel. We'll begin to change our names, which is why you see so many people on Facebook with old Hebrew names. They're awakening and don't want to wear the names of the slave keepers, colonizers, captors that enslaved our great grandmother, great, great, great grandmother, fathers, and beat them and forced Christianity into them. We're through with that. Verse 6 of Isaiah 44. Thus said the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. And beside me, there is no Elohim, high authority or power. And who as I shall call and shall declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? You are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God I know, not any. He said, I'm the only Yah. There are no other gods. That's what I like to even use the title. But guess what? We refer to him as Elohim or the Most High. Because even when we try and call his name, do you know as being the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, we were instructed not to use his sacred holy name, especially when we're in sin and all have sinned? That's a sacred holy name. So there's no need of you fighting over the name. Because half you don't deserve to even use it. Verse 9, they that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit. And they are their own witnesses. They see not, nor know that they may be ashamed. Let me slow down on that. I need you to understand what you're dealing with when you're dealing with the public and some of your family members and friends who are asleep. Read 9 again. There's no other Yah, there's no other power beside him. And then 9 says, and they that make these graven images, they're all vanity. That's the statue of Buddha you got in your house, that wooden cross around your neck, certain pictures that you got like a shrine in your house, your car that you worship, all these vain things and delectable things, the things that you eat because you got wine flowing in abundance in your home and you got your shrimp, steak, and lobster in your freezer. It's not going to help you. And he said that we are his witnesses in verse 8. But in 9, it tells us the people of the world, they are their own witnesses. You can't tell them nothing. That's what that's saying. And then it tells you this. They can't see. And I just told you why that your friends can't see, because of 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. The gods of this world have blinded their minds. You can't wake these people up. And then it says, nor know that they may be ashamed. So they can't see. And they don't know, and they don't want to know, because if they know, they become ashamed of this homosexual behavior. I'm not trying to hear what you're talking about and all these things are going to happen, because when I deal with reality and the truth, it becomes a weight, and I have to deal with everything that comes with the truth, which is going to make me ashamed of how I'm living and how I'm acting. So I can't hear you trying to correct me, because I'm not trying to hear the truth. Verse 10, who hath formed a god or a molten graven image that is profitable for nothing? Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen they are of men. Let them all be gathered together, and let them stand up. Yet they shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together. It's going to happen. Verse 12, the blacksmith with the tongs both worketh in the coals, and fashioned with hammers, and worketh with the strength of his arms. Yea, he is hungry, and his strength faileth. He drinketh no water, and is faint. Talking about these people making all these gods. 13. It goes through all that. I want to, just for the sake of time, I'm trying to see. Verse 18. Let's skip down there. They have not known nor understand, for he hath shut their eyes that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. And none considereth in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned up part of it in the fire. Yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals thereof. I've roasted flesh and eaten it, and I shall make the residue thereof an abomination. Shall I fall down to the stock of a tree? Talking about people cutting down trees to make their gods, and then using the same tree to make fire, to try and comfort themselves. Everything they can. They want to possess and control and say what is God to them, because it stimulates them. And if you read the, let me read 21 to you. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servants, and I have formed thee. That is so potent, because there is a Satan seed in the earth that Yah did not form or breathe into. That was on your Time magazine too. Who's human and who's a Neanderthal? Do your research. 22, he said, I've blotted out your transgressions. And he's also asking us to return back unto him, because we have salvation through Yeshua. He's saying, I have redeemed thee. Verse 24, it's a precept. He's reiterating the fact that he that formed thee from the womb, I am your redeemer, and that he makes all things. I just wanted to point out a few things with Isaiah 44 to encourage you. You know, back in Isaiah, the 14th chapter, Satan said in his 5-point plan, I will be just like the Most High. But let's stop with I will be. I will be. And the Most High says, I am. See how Satan is? I will be. No, you won't be. Verse 15 told us that what your destruction is, and it's coming. But it was another play on words and him trying to steal. And we have assurance in the great I am that I am, Ahiah, Ashur, Ahiah. He said, I am all things. Satan is trying to become that, and you're in his world. So he's doing everything he can to stimulate through consciousness, artificial intelligence, and hooking you up to the machine. Then he thinks he can become omniscient and omnipotent like Yah, and say that I am through oppositions of science. Let's move forward. I want to read these lyrics to you that inspired me. As soon as I woke up out of my sleep and was wondering which direction to go because I had a ton of scriptures, that Whitney Houston song popped up in my mind. And I'm going to read the lyrics, and then we'll get back into the scriptures. I want you to hear these lyrics because we're talking about one moment in time and will you stand. Those lyrics said, each day I live, I want to be a day to give the best of me. I'm only one, but not alone. My finest day is yet unknown. I broke my heart, fought every game. To taste the sweet, I face the pain. I rise and fall, yet through it all, this much remains. I want one moment in time when I'm more than I thought I could be. When all of my dreams are a heartbeat away and the answers are all up to me. Give me one moment in time when I'm racing with destiny. Then in that one moment of time, I will feel eternity. I'm not going to read any more because it's duplicitous. Because I know the people that wrote it. I know about the music industry. It's satanic, and they sing songs in homage to Satan and his five-point plan. And he wants this one moment in time because he's striving not to have to go to hell. Also, I can steal that from him and tell you that we are going to face some moments in time in order for us to receive eternal life. And I wanted to use that because as I speak to you today, I'm not worried about what Satan thinks he got from this song. I'm more concerned with you seeing that there are going to be moments in your life where you're going to have to take a stand and prove your worthiness as Job did, Noah did, Lot did, David did. We get these opportunities in life to say, for God I'll live and for God I'll die. Where it's Moses with the Levitical priesthood and drew a line in the sand and said, whoever's on the most high side, step over this line. This is a great moment in time for you to realize that there's no more time to compromise and say, I will not compromise. And the best example I could come up with to give you today was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. Picked to serve in the area of Babylon. And then because they didn't go along with what everybody else was doing, they were called on the carpet. And they refused to bow down. Everybody else bowed to the statue, the false god that was made by hands. We're going to look at this real quick. Made by hands. And they're like, no, we're not bowing down to worship that. We're not taking one knee. Refuse to bow. Let's look at Daniel, the third chapter. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were three teenagers who loved the Most High. They were born into royalty, but taken from their homes and repurposed by the Babylonians. Despite their path in life, they maintained their faith in Yah and did whatever they had to do to follow the laws of Moses. Daniel 3, 8 through 12. But some of the astrologers went to, let me read it from over here just to make sure. Give me one second. Bear with me. Wherefore, at that time, Daniel 3, verse 8, wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews, the Hebrews. They spake and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. worse than this man. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of cornet, flute, harp, psaltery, dulcimer, all kind of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And so whoever falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews, these teenagers, whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. You know, it's amazing. People don't realize Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were under 20 years old, but were chosen for their wisdom and their servitude and the great spirit inside of them. And here we are worried about kids that's 26, 28, 30. And talking about, let me live my life. Okay. O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Think about this. The whole kingdom bows down to this statue as required by law, and the teenagers stay standing. I'm not doing it. And can just think about it in your mind. Draw the image. People around them wondering, uh-oh, they're going to get it. They didn't buy. How come they're not doing what everybody else is doing? Why didn't you get the injection? And then these astrologers run to the king to tell on them. And they knew that these were children of the captivity. We pick back up at verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our Elohim, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship your image which thou hast set up. We will not go with your policies as destroying our families. We will not go with your politics. None of you all are our president. I don't care what laws you pass saying gay marriage is okay. We still don't condone it. We stand against it. We will not abide by your decrees or your laws or your rulership when it negates what Yah has said and it goes outside of his laws. Because for my one moment in time, I'm going to take a stand. I just wanted to give a Selah moment and let that sink in. Nebuchadnezzar got very furious with them. Let's skip down to verse 19. Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his visage changed. He got so angry, he probably turned dark black. Therefore, he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was, turn it all the way up to 1,000 degrees. Verse 20. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in the army to bind them up and tie them and cast them into the fire. And then these men were bound in their coats. And you all know the rest of the story for the sake of time. Let me move forward and say this. That in your taking a stance is actually where Yah shows up and your deliverance comes. It's getting hotter. You know, I'm a little upset that there's an algorithm out there that's got these fake emails from trolls going out scaring people about strike teams with military coming to knock on every door. And people are wondering what they're going to do. Can you take a page out of this book, Shadrach, Meshach, and a Bad Negro, and realize that when the time comes, I will take a stand? But you don't know that if you don't remind yourself of the encouragement in these scriptures about how Lot, sodomy was going on for years all around him, which is why Yah was upset with his wife when she turned around and looked back like she didn't want to leave the city because I had a good old time out here. I used to kick it over here. But when it got to the point where what was outside was trying to come into his home and his life and attack him with vigor, then the angels came and took him out of that fiery furnace, which became the fiery furnace that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, the entire town. country, continent, area. So we're moving into Jacob's trouble. But will you stand and say no? Not tell lies. You don't have to tell one lie. You don't even have to compromise and say, just be like, no, absolutely not. You don't have to be deceptive. I said it once before, too. You can tell them I'm fully immunized. You don't have to do none of that stuff. It's a defining moment for your salvation and your faith. And that's what I'm trying to get you to understand. Let's look at some more of Daniel, and let's look at these three Hebrew children when they came out. If you go to the Apocrypha, which are hidden books, there's a book in the Apocrypha called the Book of the Three Holy Children. And he's talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And let me go through it real quick. I'll read maybe just 28 verses from this book. There's only one book in it. There's 38 verses in total, and it's in the Apocrypha. It said, and they walked in the midst of the fire, praising Yah and blessing the Most High. That is the key right now. Not the news and the fear and the whole bunch of storing up. What are you putting inside of yourself? And are you blessing the name of Yah every day? Verse 2, then Azariah stood up and prayed on this manner, and opening his mouth in the midst of the fire said, blessed art thou, O Yah of our fathers. Thy name is worthy to be praised. This is how he praised him. And he and glorified forevermore. For thou art righteous in all things that thou hast done to us. Listen to what it was saying. This was the prayer of the three Hebrew boys. Pay close attention. Verse 4. For thou art righteous in all the things that thou hast done to us. Yea, true are all thy works. Thy ways are right, and all thy judgments are truth. Yes, sir. Verse 5, in all things that thou hast brought upon us. Like this, if this is your judgment, so be it. That thou hast brought upon us and upon the holy city of our fathers, even Jerusalem, thou hast executed true judgment. For according to truth and judgment didst thou bring all these things upon us because of our sins. Listen. They weren't complaining. They were like, we know whatever you're doing is based upon something we did. It's our truth. We'll take it. We receive it. Blessed be your name. You got to watch how you curse Yah and his Holy Spirit and try to forget about how wicked you were in your past. Verse 6, for we have sinned and committed iniquity, departing from thee. In all things have we trespassed and not obeyed thy commandments, nor kept them, neither done as thou hast commanded us, that it might go well with us if we had done these things. People, what I'm trying to say is that you're living in a time right now where you are going to pay heavy prices and consequences for your sins of breaking the commandments, adultery, fornication. There's no coming back from this stuff now. You'll get up and repent and still wake up with some type of cancer, HIV, some type of disease, or whatever you do. We're in the devil's plan for keeps. You can't even, you don't have the luxury of peeking outside the fence. You get slapped upside your head. So come with a humble stance and do like the three holy children. Verse 7 again, in all things we have trespassed and not obeyed thy commandments, nor kept them, neither done as thou hast commanded us, that it might go well with us. Wherefore, all that thou hast brought upon us and everything thou hast done to us, thou hast done in true judgment. And thou did deliver us into the hands of lawless enemies that don't even keep the law, most hateful forsakers of Yah, and to an unjust king, and the most wicked in all the world. Yes, he was. And now we cannot open our mouths. We are become a shame and reproach to thy servants and to them that worship thee. Yet deliver us not up wholly. Prayer is changing for thy name's sake. Neither disannul thou thy covenant. Verse 12, and cause not thy mercy to depart from us, Father, for thy beloved Abraham's sake, for thy servant Isaac's sake, and for the holy Israel's sake. What they're doing right here in verse 12 is the same thing Moses did when he pled with Yah not to destroy the children of Israel. You got to remember in the book of Isaiah, it says, Yah is saying through the prophet Isaiah, put me in remembrance of my word. Come humble. Say we deserve whatever you give. But for profit's sake and the things you said, have mercy on us, please. You can ask. Have an understanding of that in this hour as you move forward and strive for perfection. Verse 13, to whom thou hast spoken and promised that thou wouldest multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand that lieth upon the seashore. For we, O Most High, are become less than any nation and be kept under this day in all the world because of our sins. That is our people today. Verse 15, neither is there at this time prince or prophet or leader or burnt offerings or sacrifice or oblation or incense are placed to sacrifice before thee and to find mercy. Nevertheless, in a contrite heart and a humble spirit, let us be accepted, like as in the burnt offerings of rams and bullocks, and like as in 10,000s of fat lambs, so let our sacrifice be in the sight this day, and grant that we may wholly go after thee, for they shall not be confounded that put their trust in thee. And now we follow thee with all our heart. We fear thee and seek thy face. Put us not to shame, but deal with us after thy loving kindness and according to thy multitude of thy mercies. Deliver us also according to thy marvelous works and give glory to thy name, O Yah, and let all of them that do thy servants hurt be ashamed. And let them be confounded in all their power and might, and let their strength be broken. And let them know that the Most High Yah, glorious over the whole world, and the king's servants that put them in, cease not to make the oven hot. This is them praying this prayer while they're turning the fire up. And the king's servant, can you pray in the midst of your storm? Verse 23, and the king's servants that put them in cease not to make the oven hot with rosin and pitch and tow and small wood, so that the flame streamed forth above the furnace 49 cubits. And it passed through and burnt those Chaldeans it found about the furnace. The strong men that threw them in got burnt by the flames and the fire. Verse 26, but the angel of Yah came down into the oven together with Azarias and his fellows, and smote the flame of the fire out of the oven. Azarias is the Hebrew name, one of the Hebrew names. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were Babylonian names that were given to them. Those weren't their Hebrew names. The angel of the Lord came down into the oven together with Azarias and his fellows and smote the flame of the fire out of the oven and made the midst of the furnace as it had been a moist whistling wind, so that the fire touched them not at all, neither hurt them nor troubled them. Then the three, as out of one mouth, praised, glorified, and blessed Yah in the furnace. And then it goes on saying how they blessed him, all the things that they said about the blessings and who should praise him and bless him. He intervened. Study that in the Apocrypha about that prayer, because when your moment comes, will you stand? I got one more I want to read before we do a closing prayer out of the book of Maccabees. And that would be their other predecessor, or I should say one of the elders and one of their mentors, I should say, who was the prophet Daniel. So he also was a Hebrew that was in the king's court because of the wisdom that he had. And a lot of this is in the Apocrypha as well. There's the history of Susanna. You should read that because that's when Daniel comes on the scene. And stops them from killing a man's wife because they said she fell in adultery, but she didn't. They lied on her. But what I want to focus on is another story after the history of Susanna called Bel and the Dragon. This talks about Daniel's prophetic life as well. So that's why don't let nobody tell you this is not the inspired word of Yah, the Apocrypha. Yes, it is. Talking about it's not inspired by Yah. Yes, it is. It's powerful. Once you read it, you'll connect the dots and you'll know that this is of Yah. Give me 1 second. Okay, here we go. The history of the destruction of Bel and the dragon. I'm going to run through this. Verse 2, Daniel conversed with the king and was honored above all his friends. Now the Babylonians had an idol called Bel. And there was spent upon him every day 12 great measures of fine flour, 40 sheep, and 6 vessels of wine. This is a statue, a false idol that they were worshiping that they thought was real. Verse 5, Daniel said this, because I may not worship idols made with hands, but the living Yah who has created the heaven and the earth and had sovereignty over all. He was like, I am not worshiping any type of idol. This is how steadfast you have to be in that moment in time when it's presented to you. Verse 7, then Daniel smiled and said, O king, be not deceived, for this is nothing but clay within and brass without. And this dragon has never eaten anything because they kept bringing this idol food and wine every night, and it would be gone. And Daniel saw right through it. So the king, verse 8, was wroth and called for his priests and said unto them, if you tell me not who this is that devoureth these expenses, ye shall die. But if ye can certify me that Baal, this idol, devoureth the food that we put in there at night, then Daniel shall die, for he had spoken blasphemy against Baal, the dragon god. And Daniel said unto the king, let it be according to thy word. Let's do this. Now the priests of Baal were 70, 40 of them, beside their wives and children. And the king went with Daniel into the temple of Baal. So Baal's priest said, lo, we go out, but thou, O king, set the meat and make ready the wine and shut the door fast and seal it with thy signet. And tomorrow when thou comes in, if thou find not that Baal hath eaten up, we will suffer death. Let me skip to verse 14. So when they were gone forth, the king set meats before the statue. Now Daniel had commanded his servants to bring ashes and those that strewed throughout all the temple in the presence of the king along. Then went they out. I'm going to summarize it up for you. Daniel, when they put the food in and closed the door, Daniel said, wait, let me put some ashes on the ground. They later on found, the king came back and found footsteps of children and the women's feet that had gone in there every night and was eating the food and had him thinking that the dragon was real. Found out that it was not real and they were lying, gave Daniel praise, gave him prominence, and his ministry was just being furthered and produced. People, you got to remember that you're working on your ministry, and that moment in time comes like Noah. That was 140 years that he said it's going to rain and built that ark, or maybe about 120. But can you imagine waiting that long, or waiting on your ministry, waiting on your time? So this is the time when everything you've learned that you believe in, which is starting to dissipate in a lot of you so-called believers because you don't think there are men of Yah, you don't think there's power, you don't think there's Holy Spirit, you don't think there's anointing, you don't think there's healing. You have lost your way and probably are not going to make it into the kingdom and probably will end up being taken off the face of this earth due to your fear. It's that one shining moment, like the song said, which is like this, where Daniel was called to the carpet, where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were called to the carpet, where fear didn't step on Noah like, I'm going to look like a fool, an idiot. Where Eve messed up, and she had her one shining moment, and she's like, no, I'm going to disobey Yah. We heard Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, we've broken thy commandments. We know the consequences for not keeping these commandments. As I said, if you're not keeping them, your prayer is not even being heard. So your disbelief in the power of Yah and what he promised us is based upon your disobedience to not doing what he's told you to do. Oh, man, I could stay. I wish I had a lot of time. I could stay in this Apocrypha and tell you about Daniel with the story of Susanna, Baal the dragon, and Daniel, the sixth chapter, which covers Daniel's story in more detail. That's not in the Apocrypha, in the King James Version. Daniel, the sixth chapter. I'll read some of it. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above all the presidents and princes, favored, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes was like, how is this Hebrew man going to get up over us? Verse 4 said, the presidents and princes sought to find a case against Daniel. Just like this week, the wicked people of this earth that hate those that have the favor of Yah and conspire behind your back. But they couldn't find any occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. People, that is key. People checking you out now, waiting for you to fall and trying to go all up in your background because they don't like the favor of Yah that's on you. Verse 5, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute, the one we just read about, Bel and the dragon, and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition for any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, and so let's be clear, people, this is a law, like the laws that your city, your governor and your mayor and your president are signing and trying to get you to break the commandments of Yah by going along with their laws. This is what you're seeing here. And Daniel and them, they's like, I don't care what the law says. If it trumps my obedience to Yah, I'm not doing it. And if I have to die in standing, but too many of you are scared to die, scared of what you believe in. You really don't believe you're going to live again, that you're an immortal soul, and that if you stand for Yah, you'll inherit that immortality. You just don't have it because your whole life is engulfed in fear right now. So they said, this is how we're going to get him. We're going to put something into law. These laws are designed to destroy the Hebrew inheritance that we're coming into. Now you're dependent upon government. You like your stimulus, and you're begging for reparations, and you like staying home. Verse 10 of Daniel, the sixth chapter. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows, being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before the Most High as he did before time. Like, I ain't tripping about to up my prayer game. And I'm going to praise him. I'm not getting fearful, and I'm not going to say, maybe I should go along with that. Yeah. It's hopeless. We're doomed. Verse 11, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Verse 12, then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the king is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity. I got to pause again. Verse 13. Listen to me closely. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel. Listen to how these politicians, presidents and princes knew who these people were. That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity. I'm telling you people that your presidential political officials know who you are, and they're watching how they move you, attack you, and destroy you. Because it's about you, Hebrew. And this is how they knew, even in this Babylonian captivity, which is one of our 7 captivities, to set up laws to get us to break the law of Yah and capture us by saying, we're not conforming and doing. Why didn't you get the shot? Which is of the children of the captivity of Judah. Daniel's a Judite. And he regardeth not thee, O king, O president, O governor, mayor, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day, and they're praying to some other god. So then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king, the king loved Daniel. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and they said, all right, well, cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thy service continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. The good thing about this story is as you read down, of course, the angel shut the lions' mouths. But if you continue to read, there was another prophet that the Most High told to go take a plate to Daniel and feed it and bring him food in front of the lions. The lions didn't try to touch the food or anything. Jacob's trouble is coming and the lion's den is coming. Will you stand? Or do you not have any more faith to believe in the power of Yah? Because you can't deliver yourself, and you can't even deliver yourself from your own sins because you refuse to keep Yah's commandments, dietary laws, Sabbaths, everything else that must be done. You're not even praying, let alone three times a day. You don't give him praise every day. You have been traumatized by the ways of this world, which I explained to you in the beginning belongs to Satan right now because of the fall of Adam and Eve. And he knows he has great wrath and he's wicked and he's the father of lies. And everything you hear that comes from the world is a lie. The serpent seed is the tare. And the wheat and the tares are being separated. Tares will be burnt up. And there are many of you that are, your father is Satan. Scripture that blows my mind that says that many people were created for the purpose of destruction. They were not going to receive righteousness. You can believe you got a free will and that you're God and you get to choose what your destiny is, but you're dealing with Yah. And who can know the mind of Yah? He is all-knowing. You think you have free will, but he knew what you were going to choose before you chose it. He's the one that lights the fire inside of you to spark you to come back to him and repent and you think and make you think you came up with the idea yourself. You don't know Yah. But you can learn from the three Hebrew boys how they prayed and how they lived, and you can learn from Daniel about how they prayed and praised and how they lived. Because either you're going to stand or you're not going to stand. So if you are acclimated to the ways of the world because you're not Kodesh, sanctified and separated through the keeping of the commandments and the transforming of your mind, you're going to go along with the lies and go along with the destruction. And we're seeing people do it and we're like, we can't put them in heaven or hell, but if your DNA is going to be modified, that helps me to better understand why Yeshua said, I will be coming back when things are just like they were during the times of Noah, where you had sodomy, gene therapy, gene splicing. The watchers had fallen, slept with the women, created hybrid beings, spirits of the giants destroying people. The dinosaurs were in that era. The flood had to come wash everything out. There was none that had not been tampered with. We are there again, people. And that's what it means when it says, as it was in the days of Noah. So now let's try to, before I say this prayer, let's look at this song, these song lyrics one more time. And we've taken everything back since you want to steal our awakening stuff. I've lived to be the very best. I want it all. No time for less. I've laid the plans. Now lay down the chance here in my hands. Give me one moment in time when I'm more than I thought I can be. We are more than conquerors, people. When all my heart dreams are heartbeat away, He said, if you seek me first, I will give you the desires of your heart. I will take you before great men. I will give you favor, like I gave Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego favor. And the answers are all up to me. Give me one moment in time when I'm racing with my destiny. My destiny is to stand for you, preach this word, seek first the kingdom of Yah. In that one moment in time, I will feel my destiny, my eternity, all of those things. Listen to this prayer. I want to read to you out of 2 Maccabees, chapter 1, verse 24 and 30. And we're going to close out after I read this prayer to you. And the prayer was after this manner. I'm going to read it just as it is. O Lord, Lord God, creator of all things, who art fearful and strong and righteous and merciful, and the only and gracious King, the only giver of all things, the only just, almighty, and everlasting, thou that deliverest Israel from all trouble, and did choose the fathers and sanctify them, receive the sacrifice for thy whole people Israel, and preserve thine own portion, and sanctify it. Gather those together that are scattered from us, and deliver them that serve among these heathens. Look upon them that are despised and abhorred, and let the heathen know that art our Elohim. Punish them that oppress us, and with pride do us wrong. Plant thy people again in thy holy place, as Moses hath spoken. And the priests sang songs of thanksgiving after that prayer. It's a mighty prayer. Maccabees, 2 Maccabees 1, 24 through 30. It's been our time, brothers and sisters. I hope you can digest these scriptures today. We got a chance to spend more time in the Word. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Yah. Remember that the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey and not a destination. Howbeit, don't ever look upon your opportunities and find yourself like Peter. When they said, you're one of his disciples, aren't you? And he began to cuss, and he realized that cock had crowed three times and that he denied his Savior. And he's like, I messed up. Told me I was going to do that. He got a second chance in the upper room. We don't know if you'll get a second chance. And you can't acclimate yourself to these people to try to fit in with the crowd. There's no more fitting in. We just being separated from the tear. Where Most High is claiming his people, the ones that are his sheep, that know his voice, especially the voice that's saying, don't do it. We can make it. You got to be willing to stand, pray, praise, and stay in the Word. You've been listening to Blueprint for Life, The Awakening. I am B, the preacher. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath. Shabbat Shalom. May the Most High bless you and your family through these perilous times. Hope to see you in the kingdom.
We're gonna tear your kingdom down, oh Lord. Say, Lord, we're gonna tear your kingdom down. Oh yes, you've been a building
your kingdom.
Oh Lord,
all over this land.
That's all right. Preachers are gonna preach your kingdom down.